Our help and our expectation is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, which keepeth truth forever, and never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you in peace, from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen.
Congregation, we will continue by singing together from Psalter 382, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Lord, thou hast searched me and dost know. Where'er I rest, where'er I go, thou knowest all that I have planned, and all my ways are in thy hand. 382, we sing stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Scripture reading for this evening can be found in Psalm 51. Psalm 51, but first we will hear the 12 articles of our Catholic Christian undoubted faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe a holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We mention to you Psalm 51. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only, have I sinned, and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion. Build thou the walls of Jerusalem. Then shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offering and whole burnt offering. Then shall they offer bullocks upon thine altar. Thus far.
Congregation, let us ask the Lord for his blessing and presence among us this evening. Let us pray together. Almighty, eternal, merciful, and gracious Lord God of the heavens and of the earth, thou who art the same yesterday, today, and forever, thou who art that holy, high, majestic being in the heavens, thou who art looking down upon us, and thou seest each one of us here and all who are listening along. Our hearts are open unto thee. Thou knowest our thoughts, our cares, our needs, our struggles, our riddles, our questions. Thou knowest everything. And thou knowest in the middle of this week how we have also come together into thy house to hear what thou hast to say unto us. Thou knowest those who have come hungry, thirsty, longing for a little water for their soul, a little crumb from the Master's table. Thou knowest those who are burdened with sins and confess against thee, thee only have I sinned, and are longing for a little token of thy favor, for a smile from heaven. Thou knowest those, Lord, who have so many riddles and who are wondering, who am I? And if I have God's grace, why is there so much sin, so much wickedness in me yet? Oh, we beg thee, Lord, that thou would open thy word, and that thy word may be proclaimed, and that thy dear people, poor and needy sinners, may be comforted by thy word and spirit, that there may be bread for the hungry, that there may be water for the thirsty. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, come among us with the presence of thy Holy Spirit. And we beg thee that thou would give those blessings that no man can give us, those blessings that only come from thee, a triune God, from the fountain of all good, through thy Son and his merits, by the work of the Holy Spirit. Oh, we beg and ask thee, Lord, that those who may be gathered with us, who have only come out of custom, or who have come and yet are dead in sins and trespasses, oh, we beg thee that thou would in this evening give life, that thou would pass them by and say, live, and that they may become a lost sinner, and that they may cry out unto thee, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Remember those who may be upon false foundations. Awaken them before they appear before thee and forever cast away. Give them that they may repent, that they may flee to that only foundation, and that they may forsake all other foundations. Remember those who have gone astray. O Lord, we beg thee that thou would bring them back. We pray then that thou would come, Lord, with thy presence, and thou hast promised in thy word, where two or three are gathered together in thy name, that thou would be in the midst. Lord, there's no reason in us. We're sinful. We're a polluted people. We cannot present anything unto thee that would move thee to come among us. But may we ask thee, may we beg thee, may we supplicate for thy own name's sake, for thy honor, for thy glory, that thou would come among us and bless thy word richly, that it may become a true worship service, that sinners would be bowing in the dust before thee, crying unto thee, have mercy upon me, O God. That poor and needy sinners may seek thee for forgiveness of all their sins through thy dear Son. And that sinners would also seek to be cleansed by thee, not only forgiven, but also to be made pure within, to serve thee with their whole heart, with their whole being, to be free from sin. Lord, thou art so worthy. May we beg thee then, do it for thy great name's sake, and for our eternal welfare and comfort for our soul upon this earth in this life. Lord, we ask in this week of preparation for the coming Lord's Day, when there will be, the Lord willing, the Lord's Supper administered. Lord, we ask that thou would search us and try us and see if there be any wicked way in us, and lead us in that way of everlasting life. O come with thy Spirit, Lord, and testify with thy little lambs and the sheep that they belong unto thee, and that thou would lead them and guide them to come to that table, to be fed by thee, to be obedient to the command, to do this in remembrance of thee, to celebrate the Lord's death. Oh, that they may come in the midst of death, and that's against our flesh. But Lord, we beg thee, lead them to the midst of death, to seek salvation only and completely in thy dear Son, that Lamb of God, and of him crucified. He who gave his body to be broken, he who gave his blood to be shed to satisfy the justice that is above each one of us because of all our sins and that none of us can satisfy. O Lord, wilt thou show us then through that broken bread and that poured out wine that thou art satisfied, that he said it was finished, and that the Father is satisfied, and that there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, then give opening to preach, not only of the experiences of thy dear people, but also that thy dear Son, that only Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, may be lifted up, and that sinners may be drawn unto them, unto him, Lord. We beg thee then, give much prayer, give opening, take away all the obstacles and the hindrances in listening to thy voice, to thy word, but also to preach. Give the unction of the Holy Spirit, Lord. May we beg thee for a good hour in thy favor, in thy house, and that we may go home and say it was good to be here because the Lord was among us. Lord, remember all those who are mourning, comfort them. Remember all the sick and afflicted. Bless the means they may use for their body, for their mind. We pray and ask thee, Lord, to remember all thy servants upon this earth that thou hast called. Give faithfulness. Give that we may proclaim death in Adam and life in Christ. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, wilt thou thrust out more servants into thy vineyard throughout the world, among the nations, on the mission field in Bolivia, but also here in North America and in our denomination. Lord, we beg thee, have mercy upon us. We thank thee that thou hast given another student. And yet, Lord, we beg thee for thy name's sake, for the coming of thy kingdom, for the coming generation, wilt thou thrust out many more, and that in the coming year thou would gladden us with the deeds of thy hands. Lord, have mercy. We only deserve that thou would pass us by, that thou would give a famine of thy word because of all our sins, iniquities, and transgressions. But we beg thee all these things, all our petitions, all our needs for body and soul, for land and country, for home and for our families, and for our congregation, upon that only one who sits at thy right hand. Oh, we beg it in the name of thy dear Son, for Jesus' sake alone. Amen. Congregation, let us continue now this evening's worship service with singing from Psalter 142, all four stanzas. God be merciful to me, on thy grace I rest my plea. Plenteous in compassion thou, blot out my transgressions now. Wash me, make me pure within. Cleanse, O cleanse me from my sin. Wash me, make me pure within. Cleanse, O cleanse me from my sin. Psalter 142, all stanzas, and there's one collection tonight for the church building fund. May the Lord bless you and your gifts. Dear congregation, Psalm 51, we read to the chief musician a psalm of David. When Nathan the prophet came unto him after he had gone into Bathsheba, David, a man after God's own heart, fell deep in sin. He committed adultery with Bathsheba, and he tried to cover his sin by scheming and planning. And then he was also responsible for the murder of Uriah. And after a time of mourning, then David called Bathsheba to his home, and he was married to her. And we read in 2 Samuel 11, verse 27, "And when the morning was past, David sent and fetched her to his house, and she became his wife and bare him a son. But the thing that David had done displeased the Lord." But David continued in his life. He continued on in his life. He did not repent at all. But the thing that David had done displeased the Lord. And then we read in the next chapter in the first verse, "And the Lord sent Nathan unto David." And we know the story. Nathan told him a parable, and David was very angry. He became very angry, and he said that man shall surely die and restore fourfold. And then Nathan pointed the finger to David and said, "Thou art the man." And then David's heart began to break. David confessed, "I have sinned against the Lord." God brought David, who had fell deep into sin, who carried on in life and was kind of just living it covered, didn't confess it. He brought him to repentance. And so in Psalm 51, we hear David's repentance. We hear the expressions of a penitent heart crying out to God. We hear expressions of a broken, a contrite heart to God. A man once said to me in Bolivia, we were considering Psalm 51, and he said, "I understand why David wrote the psalm. David fell so deep in sin, the horrible sin of adultery and murder. But this is not a psalm of God's children. This is not the life of God's children." How would you respond? How would you respond? It is. It absolutely is. The Pharisee, the self-righteous man or woman, those that are ignorant of grace, do not understand. They're like the Pharisee, which we read in Luke 18, verse 11. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, "God, I thank thee, I am not as other men are." True believers stand beside David. Recipients of God's grace understand the psalm. It's their heart, it's their life. They identify with David and his penitent heart before God, even though they may not have committed such gross acts of sin. They stand beside him, because they also must say, "Who am I? I'm no better." And God brings all his beloved people, his dear children, to repentance. And they will have penitent hearts like David. They will repent because they have the same grace. They're in the same school of grace. They're taught the same lessons. They have the same needs. They have the same sorrows. They have the same flesh. They have the same longings, the disappointments. They have the same joy in God. And they have the same faith in that only Savior. So tonight, may we lay our hearts next to Psalm 51. Does it describe your life, yes or no, in some measure? And may the Lord bless his word powerfully to the regeneration of those who are yet dead to life, to those who may be deceiving themselves, that they may be awakened, those who may be backslidden, may be covering sin and not confessing it like David. May arrows be shot, that sinners may be wounded, that God's people, strange sheep, may truly be brought to repentance before the Lord's day. but also that there may be comfort. Also comfort. Because the word is profitable for all things, that there may be comfort for poor and needy sinners. Psalm 51, we hear in this psalm many petitions of a penitent heart. Verse 1, have mercy on me. Verse 2, wash me. Verse 7, purge me. Verse 8, make me to hear joy. Verse 10, create in me a clean heart. Renew a right spirit in me. Verse 11, cast me not away. Verse 12, restore unto me the joy of salvation. Uphold me. Verse 14, deliver me. So we hear all different petitions out of a heart of a broken, repentant sinner that cries unto God. But tonight, we will only consider a few. And so I'd like to draw your attention to the first two verses of Psalm 51, verse 1 and 2. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. The theme tonight, the petitions of a penitent heart to God. The petitions of a penitent heart to God. And in these first two verses, we hear three of them. So three petitions tonight. First, have mercy on me. Verse 1. Do you know that prayer? From the depth of your heart, crying to God, have mercy on me, O God. The second is, forgive me. He wants forgiveness, and he expresses that with different phrases in the psalm. And then he also has another petition, cleanse me. So, the petitions of a penitent heart to God. Have mercy upon me, forgive me, and cleanse me. So with the help of the Lord, our first thought, have mercy on me, O God. David prays. Children, teenagers, congregation, what is one of the shortest prayers in the Bible? There's different ones. But I think especially of the publican. He cried in the back of that temple, and he was beating upon his breast as he was a guilty sinner. God be merciful to me, the sinner. David is like this publican. He's praying. He sends a petition from the depth of his broken heart, convicted of sin, guilty. Have mercy upon me, O God. What is mercy, congregation? What is mercy? Mercy is one of the glorious attributes of the true living God. It describes who Jehovah is. He's all his attributes, all in perfection at the same time, but he's also merciful. Mercy is always from someone higher to someone lower. It always comes from above. So mercy comes from God. And so David cries to the Almighty God, have mercy upon me, O God. What does mercy mean? It's God's excellent, perfect goodness to miserable, unworthy sinners. Merciful is showing compassion to someone that's absolutely not worthy of it. Mercy, it's not giving you what you deserve, it's giving you the opposite. Lord, have mercy upon me. Why does David beg for mercy? Because he knows he deserves. What does he deserve? He deserves wrath. He deserves only that the Lord would hide his face, that the Lord would punish him forever. They're only sinners. We only deserve wrath. We don't deserve any mercy. Have you begun to pray? Have mercy on me, O God. Adam in paradise didn't need mercy. He was in that state of perfection, in communion every day with God, no separation. All the holy angels and those beings in heaven don't need mercy. It's all perfection. But fallen, depraved, wretched, wicked transgressors that only pour forth iniquity need mercy. And so David prays, have mercy on me, O God. Have pity on me. Be gracious unto me. Be merciful unto me. Look upon me. David is guilty. He's convicted of his wicked sins. He's a lawbreaker. He's a transgressor. He offended God. He offended that God who was so good unto him. He committed adultery in the very act. He planned, he schemed, he followed only his flesh. And he murdered also to try to cover his sin. He caused God's name to be blasphemed among the nations, as we read in the Word of God. And so David confesses, as we read in verse 4, "Against thee, thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest." He sinned against God. He didn't minimize sin. He didn't have excuses. He didn't hide it anymore. He didn't lie about things. He was open. He poured it all out. He was confessing, "Against thee, thee only, have I sinned." He became guilty against a holy, just God. And everything that God would say to him would be just. And if he'd say, "You are condemned," David would have to say, "Amen. That's what I deserve. But, have mercy upon me, O God. Have mercy upon me." Do you understand David's heart? Do you understand this petition? Is this your heart? Is this your petition? Do you stand beside David as a guilty sinner, be of holy and just God, that you have sinned against him? Because of original sin, we are worthy of condemnation. And because of only maybe one sin, of a thought, a word, a deed, or an action, affection, or desire, also our own sins, we only deserve condemnation. My friends, we need mercy. Do you feel it? Have you experienced it? That you need mercy? Have you prayed? Have you begged? Have mercy on me. Others need mercy, but I need mercy. I need mercy from God, the God I have sinned against. David's bowing and he's begging. He's pleading with no rights, and yet he's pleading. He's begging as a lost, as a guilty sinner before a holy God, "Have mercy on me. I need mercy." Do you need mercy? Mercy, it's often used to express God's love and is related to his everlasting faithfulness. Open your Bible to Psalm 103 and we'll read verse 17. Psalm 103, verse 17, where we read about the mercies of God. Psalm 103, verse 17. "But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children." Mercy. Have mercy upon me, O God. That everlasting mercy. I need it today. I need it forever. Remember Moses? He said to the Lord, "Show me thy glory." And what did Moses, what did the Lord do? He passed him by. He hit him on the rock. And then the Lord passed him by. And we read in Exodus 34 verse 6, "And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth." My friend, do you need mercy? Do you have plenteous of sins? Do you have many sins? Innumerable sins? Horrible sins? Great sins? Wicked sins? More than the hairs of your head? Are you bowed down with the burden of sin on your back? Well, we also read in Psalm 103 verse 8, "The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy." Those sinners that have plenteous of sins, they need plenteous of mercy, and they beg for mercy. Plenteous, what does that mean? That means there's an abundance. There's ample. There's more that could cover all your sins and more sins. There's abundant supply in God through Jesus Christ. There's mercy for the chiefest, for the wretchest of sinners. David appeals to God's mercy. Why? Why does he appeal to God's mercy? Because he has nothing left to plead upon in himself at all. He can't find anything in himself that would move God anymore. He knows he only needs mercy. He has nothing, nothing at all. He can't plead upon his prayers. He can't plead upon his tears, his zeal, nothing. He can only plead as a guilty beggar before that holy God for mercy. Have mercy on me, O God. Is this only in the beginning? No. It's in the beginning. It's continual. It's even unto death. We need mercy upon mercy upon mercy. We need grace upon grace upon grace. We need everything that comes from God. William Carey. He was dying. And someone asked him, William, what do you want your funeral text to be? William Carey, who worked zealously, faithfully for the Lord in his service for so many years, he said, please, just preach on Psalm 51, verse 1. I need mercy. I need mercy to die. I need mercy to appear before God. I need mercy. A petition for mercy. Do you understand it? Do you know a little something of this? Begging God for mercy. Not pleading on anything of self anymore. It's all gone. It's all polluted. But pleading on God's great mercy. Daniel did this. Daniel did. Listen. Daniel 9 verse 18. Oh my God. Incline thine ear and hear. Open thine eyes. And behold our desolations. And the city which is called by thy name. For we do not present our supplications before thee. For our righteousnesses. And now listen, but for thy great mercies. See Daniel? See David? Do you understand? My friend, we're in the middle of a preparatory week. It's examination. Have you been searching, trying to find something, and all you see is sin? Do you have absolutely nothing, and only you can cry out of the depth of your heart as a guilty, lost sinner? I need mercy. Have mercy upon me, O God. Have mercy upon me through thy Son, Jesus Christ. What encourages David? David that sinned so horribly, so deeply, so willfully, so wickedly against God. What encouraged him to even cry to the very God that he sinned against for mercy? Why do sinners, guilty sinners, cry to God for mercy? What draws them to come to him to beg as a lost sinner? Psalm 51 verse 1. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies. David and those who are taught of grace don't only learn about themselves. They also learn at the same time who God is, the very God that they have sinned against. And they begin to beg God for mercy because they also know a little something. Not only of his justice, of his holiness, of his wrath, but also something of his mercy. According to thy loving kindness. And now loving kindness in the Hebrew, that is such a deep, profound word that when they translated the Bible into English, they didn't know what word to use. No English word was perfect to explain the depth and the mercy and the loving kindness of God. And so they combined two words, love and kindness. What's loving kindness that flows of that merciful, almighty, holy, and just God? It's an unfailing love. It's a kindness, a deep compassion, an overflowing fountain of goodness, love that is connected to God's covenant faithfulness. And so David, he knows himself, but he also knows a little something of God is, and that draws him. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. And he continues, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies. Lord, in thee, there's a multitude of tender mercies for such a wretch. Have mercy upon me. He appeals to the very being of God to have mercy upon who he is. Have mercy on me, O God, according to thy deep compassion.
compassion, according to thy very being. What a pleading place. Because we have no pleading place. Nothing in us, but it's in Him. It's in who He is through His Son, Jesus Christ. Sinners become guilty before a holy and just God, but they are also drawn to Him for who He is. They hunger for Him, thirst for Him, and they come to know also something of His loving kindness, of His mercies, of His excellency in His mercy and goodness. We need to have a true, right knowledge of God, of who He is in all His attributes, not just His love and His mercy, but not also His holiness and justice, all of it together, that we become guilty and lost before Him, and that we draw unto Him and plead upon His own being for mercy. If all we would see is His justice, we would only flee and hide ourselves and tremble forever. But He also reveals Himself in His word of who He is through His Son of loving kindness. Loving kindness. And this also makes sin bitter. Is sin bitter to you? Or is only the consequences bitter? Or is sin itself that you sin against God, a holy God, but a good God, a merciful God, a loving kindness God? That gives pain, deep pain. And David's broken. He's broken. Deep, wounded to his very heart, to his very being, that he sinned so willfully against such a good God of overflowing loving kindness. Have you sinned? Have you sinned against such a God? Do you know Him in this way? Oh, then they beg, oh Lord, just have mercy. Have mercy on me. According to thy tender mercies, according to the multitude of thy loving kindness, conviction of sin, but also confidence. Begging, bowing in the dust, yet looking, clinging, hoping, trusting, confiding in that very God. Repentance and faith. And so the penitent cries, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies. May I ask you, do you know something of this same experience, of this same life that's taught by God in the hearts of sinners by the power of the Holy Spirit? Do you have some of the same conviction and the same confidence in God? But now a question. Will God hear such a one? Will God hear David? Will God hear you, you poor, broken, guilty sinner? I think of Joseph. Children, you know Joseph. His brothers took him and sold him. Those wicked brothers. And you know what we read in Genesis 42, verse 21? They saw the anguish of his soul. And he besought them for mercy. But they said no. And they sold him. They just hardened their hearts. Job, he begged for mercy with his friends that came in all his misery. Have pity upon me. Have pity upon me, O ye my friends, for the hand of the Lord had touched me. But they continue questioning him, searching him with accusations. But with the Lord, with an almighty God of heaven and earth, will he hear? Will he answer? Will he have mercy? Will he look upon those in the dust, bowing, begging? Yes, he will. He will. Why? Because it's his work. It's his work. Open your Bible to Matthew 20. Here we see a beautiful example in Matthew 20 of who the Lord Jesus Christ is for those who beg for mercy. Matthew 20, and we'll read verse 30 through 34. And behold, two blind men, sitting by the wayside, when they heard that Jesus passed by, cried out, saying, have mercy on us, O Lord, thou son of David. And the multitude rebuked him because they should hold their peace. But they cried the more, saying, have mercy on us, O thou son of David. And now we read something so wonderful and beautiful. And Jesus stood still. Jesus stood still. Emmanuel, God with us. That holy, divine being in the flesh heard a cry of a needy sinner unto him, and he stood still. That means he heard. He stopped. He listened. He took notice. And then what did he do? He called them. He called them. Jesus stood still and called them and said, "What will ye that I shall do unto you?" And they said unto him, "Lord, that our eyes may be opened." So Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight, and they followed him. It's an example that the Lord Jesus Christ will have mercy upon them that cry unto him. He stood still. He heard. He listened. He gave an ear, and he's the same today. Poor sinner, you who are crying, begging for mercy as a guilty, lost sinner. What a wonder. What a mercy. What mercy for wretched sinners. We read in Micah 7, verse 18, "Who is a God like unto thee, that pardoneth iniquity, and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever." And now listen, "because he delighteth in mercy." What? "Because he delighteth in mercy." How can a holy and just, righteous, infinite, holy being high in the heavens be merciful to sinners and even delight in being merciful unto him? It means he has pleasure in being merciful to sinners. It's because of his Son. It's because of Jesus Christ. When you see that broken bread and that poured out wine, think of him, his sacrifice. It's because of him there's mercy. It's because of him there's goodness. Because without him, God is a consuming fire. But in him, he delighteth to be merciful. He takes pleasure, not in the death of wicked sinners, but he takes pleasure in being merciful to multitude of sinners. To a multitude of sinners who continually remain sinful. A multitude of sinners who only can do sin, thoughts, words, and deeds. Sinners who cannot, who desire to live pure, but keep sinning in their whole being, and cry to him for mercy. The Almighty God, according to his loving kindness and tender mercies through the blood of Jesus Christ, delights in being merciful to sinners, and even more. More? Yes, he takes them. He takes them. And he marries them. He enters into an eternal covenant with them. Hosea 2 verse 19. "And I will betroth thee unto me forever. Yea, I will betroth thee unto me in righteousness and in judgment and in loving kindness and in mercy." Who is a God like unto thee? Should that not be the echo of our hearts tonight? For such wretched sinners? And do you know what those poor beggars say? They beg for mercy and they long, "Lord, take me. Take me. Make me wholly thine. Be merciful to me." Oh, what wonders of God's grace. What wonders of free and sovereign grace of mercy through the precious Lord Jesus Christ. Let's sing now. Psalter 415, stanzas 7 and 8 standing. 415, stanzas 7 and 8. "Yea, the secret of Jehovah is with those who fear his name. With his friends is tender mercy. He his covenant will maintain. With a confidence complete toward the Lord, my eyes are turning. From the net he'll pluck my feet. He will not despise my yearning." Psalter 415, stanzas 7 and 8 standing.
the petitions of a penitent heart unto God. Have mercy on me, O God. But those true penitent sinners don't only need mercy, they long for something else. They long also for forgiveness. David begs for mercy, and he also begs for the forgiveness of his sins. Do you need mercy? And do you need forgiveness of all your sins? Do you desire forgiveness? Forgiveness for your sins that you've committed against God? David expresses his sin and the need for forgiveness through different phrases in this psalm. Let's read verse 1 again. According to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. What are transgressions? Why doesn't he just use the word sin? Why does he use the word transgressions? Because transgressions is breaking, violating God's law. David has transgressed. He has broken God's holy law with his willful actions of adultery and murder. He broke the good law of God. And now he wants forgiveness for the exact acts that he has done. David has a broken heart. And he has a petition out of his heart for God. That God of tender mercy. That God of loving kindness. To blot out his transgressions. Blot out? What does that mean? Well, children, if you take a paper and you write something in pen and you make a mistake, well, then we also know there's whiteout. You can cover that mistake with whiteout, but it's still there. It's not gone. It's just covered. But now if you have a paper and you write something with a pencil and you make a mistake, then you can erase it. You can take it away. David is saying, blot out my transgressions. Take them away. May they be forever removed. Obliterate them. Remove them. Take them away. Blot them out, Lord. Have mercy. Forgive me. Blot out my transgressions. David desires that God would not look at his transgressions anymore, but that they would be removed. We read in verse 9, hide thy face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Why, David? Why do you want that God to blot out your transgressions? Is it only so you wouldn't have those punishments, be consequences of your sin? Do you only want to escape the punishment? No. No. No, David longs for something else. Those penitent hearts long for something else. They know that God is too pure of heart to look upon sin. And they want the Lord to look upon them. But on them is their sin, their transgressions, that they broke God's law. They want him to blot it out so he can look upon them, so they can have favor, so they can have communion. He longs it to be blotted out, taken away, so that he can experience a smile, a token of God's favor. Is that your heart? Is that your longing? Is that your soul? Just a little smile? Verse 12. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. David experienced that joy, that deep joy in God, in salvation, and he doesn't have it no more. He can't taste it anymore. It's all gone because of his sin. No, he didn't lose salvation, but he lost the experience, the taste of the joy in God through Christ. And that was life. That was everything to him. It's gone. He wants it back. Lord, blot out my transgressions. And how is it with your soul? Maybe you've never tasted the joy of salvation. Are you longing for it? Just a little sip, just a little token, just a little smile upon my soul, upon my guilty soul. Lord, blot out my transgressions. Do you only feel wrath? Do you only feel the frowns? Do you only feel a distance with God? Are you like what we read in Psalm 32, verse 4? For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer, Selah. Are you longing for favor of God? Thirsting, hungry for God? For a little smile from heaven? Verse 8, make me to hear joy and gladness. Is that your heart? Have mercy, forgive me. I want joy, joy that nothing else can give because this whole world is empty. Nothing can fill my heart anymore, Lord.
I need joy only from thee and thee alone. David cries. He supplicates out of the depth of his heart to the Almighty God that he has sinned against. He's a beggar. He wants forgiveness. Why does David beg God for forgiveness? Why does he exactly cry unto that very God to blot out his transgressions? Because he has learned he has nothing to blot it out himself. Nothing. He can't get rid of it. And he needs to pay. He needs to satisfy the justice. He has nothing no more. Nothing. And so he cries to the very God. Because David has a penitent, broken heart. But he also has trust, hope in God. That in God there is forgiveness. That in God there is forgiveness for the wickedness, the most vile sins, the very act of planning murder and adultery, and I can name a whole list. It's in God. Listen to what God says, congregation, poor sinner. Listen, Isaiah 43, verse 25. Even I am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for my own sake and will not remember thy sins. What wonders, what mercy, what grace. How can a holy God delight in mercy and blot out transgressions that is against his very being? It's only through Jesus Christ. It only through him and him crucified. Listen to what we read in Colossians 2 verse 14. Blotting out the handwriting of the ordinance that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it away, nailing it to his cross. Jesus Christ, that sacrificial lamb, that substitute, took all the debt of all his people, and his Father laid it all upon him. And as he was nailed to the cross, all their transgressions, little lamb, sheep, poor beggar, it was all nailed to the cross through him. And the forgiveness flowed through that blood, through his wounds, through his broken body. Look at the bread. Look at that poured out wine. He wants you to know. He wants you to deeply feel and know his love and his mercy that is blotted out. It's forgiven. And to taste something of that, sitting at the table, well, then you don't want to leave. Then it's a little heaven upon this earth. The wonders. Oh, then there's joy. Joy of salvation, congregation. Do you see what you're missing? Are you without God? Not needing mercy? Not needing forgiveness? Not hungering and thirsting for God? You miss everything. You miss the most profound blessings that a sinner can ever have upon this earth. You can have much, but you have nothing. Because have the joy, the taste of the love of God through the wounds of Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. His loving kindness is more than life. It's everything. Jesus Christ willingly took it all upon himself. Willingly gave himself. Take me. Allow me to be broken. Allow me to die. Cast me out. No mercy for me, that mercy may flow for the wretched of sinners. Do you need forgiveness? Where are you seeking it, my friend? Where are you seeking it? Are you trying to find it in yourself? You won't. You'll find it in the Bible. You'll find it in God. You'll find it in the wounds of Jesus Christ. You won't find it anywhere else. Seek the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Seek it and have no rest until you can taste it in the depth of your soul through the crucified Savior, Jesus Christ. David pleads for mercy. He pleads for forgiveness. But he also says another expression in verse 2. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity. What's iniquity? It refers to the deep, profound, willful sin against God. David committed iniquities. Out of the depravity of his heart, he sinned against God. Wash me thoroughly. He doesn't need just his feet washed, so to speak. He needs his whole being, inner, outer, whole, from head to toe. He needs to be washed completely. Wash me completely. Wash my thoughts, my desires, my affections, my will, my sins of youth, original sin, actual sins. Lord, wash it all away. Wash me thoroughly. Make me clean within. Is that you? Do you want to be clean? Just completely clean, forgiven, washed? Can you find it in nothing else? My friend, it's in God. It's in God. Do you have iniquities, transgressions, a multitude? Psalm 130, verse 3 and 4. If thou, Lord, shouldst mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? You cannot stand. I cannot stand if he marks them. Do you know that? But what else do we... But there is forgiveness. There is forgiveness with thee that thou mayest be feared. Have mercy on me, O God. Lord, forgive me. Lord, wash me. Wash me wholly. Wash me completely. Is this your heart? Do you understand it? Can you stand beside David and cry with him and sigh and beg and weep and long and hunger and thirst and wait? Or do you miss it all? Does God hear you crying? Does he? Does he hear you sighing? Just begging, Lord, mercy. Lord, forgive me. Wash me. Does he know that? In your secret chamber, he sees it. He hears it. He will answer. He will. Because it's his work. He will at his time. He's the good God. It's because of his son. He will give blessings to poor beggars that have nothing and that look to him for everything, that cry to him. What a wonder. There is forgiveness in him. Micah 7, verse 19. He will turn again. He will have compassion on us. He will subdue our iniquities. And thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. Into the depths of the sea of the blood of Jesus Christ. Because we read in Ephesians 1, verse 7. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. All those recipients, they beg for mercy. They look to God, to whom they sinned against. They need it all from him. They need forgiveness. They want washed, cleansing. But they also want something else. You say, what else could they want? To have mercy, to have forgiveness, what riches, what blessings. And yet those hearts have another petition. What is it? Cleanse me. Cleanse me. What a wonder to receive mercy. What a wonder to taste a little something of the forgiveness of sin, or the hope, even in the hope that there is forgiveness in the Lamb of God. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. But David, you need more? David, why do you want more? What do you want, David? Sinner, what do you want? May I ask you? You've tasted mercy. You've tasted a little something of forgiveness, or even just the hope of forgiveness. What else do you really want? What do you walk with? You walk with a polluted being. You walk with flesh. A mighty stream of foul transgressions prevail from day to day. This body of death is clinging to you. And by your flesh, you're prone to all sin and evil. And God has poured love in your heart. And he's so good, so worthy to be served. And I have this heart, this wicked heart, this body of death, this flesh that clings to me everywhere I go. I need cleansing. And so David cries. Psalm 51, verse 2, and cleanse me from my sin. Or we read a parallel in verse 10, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. David confesses. He's born in sin. He's unrighteous. He's unrighteous. And God made him righteous, but he's unrighteous. And God has the right that he lives righteous. And God renewed him to be righteous. But he feels so unrighteous. So sinful, so polluted, so wicked. And so he begs. He has a petition out of his broken heart. God, Almighty God, have mercy, forgive me, and cleanse me. Cleanse, do you understand it? Is this your heart? Is this your longing? Is this your life? You want to be cleansed because you want to serve him? You want to obey him? Do you want to serve him in your whole being? Cleanse me. Purge me, we read in verse 7. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Purge. David, what do you mean by purge? Well, children, you come to the end of a school year, and you clean your desk or your locker, or maybe you have to clean your room, and you find some old garbage, and you got to clean it all out. You got to purge it all. It all has to go. It all has to be clean. All cleaned, all purged, all clean. David says, purge me, cleanse me, purge me, purge my whole being, Lord. But purge me with hyssop. It's an expression. But what does David mean with that? Why hyssop? Purge me with hyssop. Remember, hyssop in the Old Testament was used to apply to the sinner. They had sacrifices, and then they would be sprinkled with hyssop, dipped in the blood and sprinkled. Or children, remember on Passover when they killed the lamb, they kept that blood in the basin and they put hyssop into that blood and they sprinkled it on their doorposts. So what is David saying? Purge me with hyssop. Cleanse me. Purge me with hyssop. David is thinking of a high priest applying those blessings. So he wants it applied. He wants it applied to his heart, to his soul. But David, don't you have it? Nathan said, David, your sins are forgiven. But David doesn't have the feeling. He doesn't have the taste of it. And so he wants to be purged with hyssop. He wants it applied to his own soul. He wants that blood. He wants the forgiveness. He wants cleansing. Is that what you're longing for? May you hear about it. But you want it on your own soul. Purge me with hyssop. Purge me. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. David, he can go nowhere else. As a wretched transgressor with iniquities against God, and he needs mercy. Mercy. Do you need mercy? Could you follow a little in that first thought? Do you need forgiveness? Can you follow a little also in that second thought? You long for forgiveness, that it would be taken away, that God could smile upon you. But do you also need to be cleansed? Do you want to be cleansed? Because you want to serve God with your whole being, with your whole heart. What wonders of God's grace. There's forgiveness with him through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he calls. Who does he call? Covenant breakers. He calls spiritual lepers as polluted from their head to their toe, within and without. He calls those who are as wicked as Sodom and Gomorrah. He calls covenant breakers. He calls transgressors loaded with sins, loaded with iniquities. He calls them to come unto him for cleansing. Yes, in him. Listen to what we read in Isaiah 1 verse 18. Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. How can God wash a crimson, polluted, died sinner that's full of sin with his whole being and his whole heart through the blood of the Lamb of God? God teaches sinners by his grace. He convicts them of their guilt, that they're lawbreakers, transgressors. They have iniquities, they have sins, and they need mercy. And he teaches them that there is forgiveness in him. And he teaches them that they need cleansing. This is the life of a true, penitent child of God. Do you know something of it? But he also teaches at the same time to draw them to himself of who he is, of that holy and just being, but also that merciful, that God of loving kindness, of grace, of goodness through his Son. A sight of dirtiness, of a depraved heart, of who we really are, and the knowledge of God and Jesus Christ causes a sinner to cry, cleanse me, Lord. Have mercy on me. Forgive me, Lord. Wash me. Wash me, Lord, and I shall be whiter than snow. The petitions of a penitent heart to God. May I ask you, do you know a little something of these three petitions, or is it all strange? Must you confess, I know nothing, nothing of any of these things? Then, my friend, I must tell you from the word of God, you're lost. You're lost. Lost. You're without grace, without God. You're without hope in the world, without joy. You're just completely in want, in a desperate need under the wrath of God. And I must tell you from my master, repent and believe. Make haste for your life's sake today before you perish and before it is forever too late. But do you know a little something? Do you know something? This is the life of those poor, limping lambs, of those poor, needy sheep. And he calls them, come. Come to the table. Come sit under my wings. I want to comfort. I want to give thee comfort. I want to delight you to delight in me, to eat in fatness, in goodness, to delight in the crucified Savior. He desires to have communion with his dear beloved people, a people who have already eaten from the gospel table. What does that mean? Who have faith in Jesus Christ as a guilty, lost, polluted sinner, but have faith in that second person. And how do you know if you have faith? He becomes precious. Has he? Has he become precious for your soul? Is there love for him or not? He welcomes those poor little lambs, those sheep, to the table. You may come in the midst of death, begging for mercy, begging to be washed, begging to be cleansed, seeking it all in him and in him crucified. And he says, hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. There's fatness in him, the dainties that can feed a poor, hungry soul. Amen. Almighty, eternal Lord God of the heavens and of the earth, O wilt thou bless thy word by the power of the Holy Spirit irresistibly. O thou knowest those hearts of those who beg for mercy, who need forgiveness, and who cry unto thee, wash me, purge me, make me clean, who need cleansing. O we beg thee, Lord, thou hast taught them, but lead them further, lead them unto thyself, and give opening to all thy dear children to come to the table, to sit, to delight themselves in fatness. O Lord, wilt thou pour out richly on thy day blessings from above that we cannot give ourselves, but that thou art delighted to give to unworthy sinners because of thy Son, because of his righteousness, because of his poured out blood. Prepare us for thy day, Lord. Give a word to speak. Give ears to hear. And may we thank thee for thy precious word that can make us wise unto the only way of salvation. Bless it richly, Lord. Keep us as we go home, and give that we may meditate upon thy precious word. We ask in the forgiveness of all our many sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. Let us sing now from Psalter 283, the first three stanzas. O come, my soul, bless thou the Lord thy Maker, and all within me bless his holy name. Bless thou the Lord, forget not all his mercies, his pardoning grace and saving love proclaim. Psalter 283, the first three stanzas.
congregation, receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the comforting communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.